Good morning, Dr. Barry. Good morning, Willie.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you guys.
So full disclosure on my end, we've had Mother's Day surprise of having COVID-19 come to my family. So that's why I'm in a mask and you might hear a small friend periodically over the course of our presentation today. So as far as the COVID-19 situation, nationally, we are seeing cases rise quite significantly, up 50% in the last 2 weeks. We're also seeing hospitalizations rise 20% in the last 2 weeks in the United States as a whole, driven particularly by what's going on in the Northeast. In Washington, we are seeing case rates rise and hospitalizations as well, driven primarily by the King and Snohomish County area. That's something that we touched base on a little bit last time I was here. I was able, since our last meeting, to get access to the King and Snohomish County hospitalization data and really dig into the nitty-gritty of who's being hospitalized right now. And at this point, we're primarily seeing hospitalizations still among those who are unvaccinated, or to a smaller degree in our elders who have not received their first booster. We are not seeing hospitalizations of those who have received their full vaccine course and their boosters. We're just not seeing that play out right now. As an added layer of caution, we are starting a campaign of second boosters just for our long-term care residents in particular, just to shore up their protection, even though we're not seeing hospitalizations among those who are boosted in this country right now. So that is one hopeful sign, even as we see case rates rise and hospitalizations, is that for those who've gotten their vaccine and gotten their booster, we're still seeing very good protection against severe disease. So we're still seeing, even when we see hospitalizations rise in our neighboring counties, we're still seeing that predominantly among those who are unvaccinated, which is a good reminder that it's still possible to get exposed to COVID-19 if you haven't had it already. And what we're seeing with these variants circulating now is we're seeing more reinfection. So we're seeing faster and more severe reinfection. So if your only immunity comes from prior infection, it's really important to go ahead and get that vaccine to reduce your risk of not only getting sick, but of getting severe disease in particular. In Jefferson County, cases continue to rise. Our current total number of COVID-19 cases is up to 3,603. That puts our case rate at 537 per 100,000 with a 10% positivity rate. We do have one person currently hospitalized for COVID-19 for a total of 125 hospitalizations and no new deaths, thankfully. So a total of 28 of our citizens lost to COVID-19. In neighboring Clallam County, our cases are up to 11,691 for a case rate of 403, a percent positivity of 8%. We do have three people currently hospitalized in Clallam County for a total of 367, and thankfully no additional deaths in Clallam County either, so we're holding steady at 111. Looking at what's called case ascertainment, the probability that we find any of these cases, we do think our case ascertainment is quite a bit higher in Jefferson and in Clallam because of our ability to capture home antigen tests. Right now, the state as a whole is reporting a case ascertainment rate of about 16%, which means if you look at a case rate on the state website, you want to multiply it by 6, and that'll give you an idea of about what the case rates are. So currently for Washington State as a whole, their case rate is 264. Multiply that by 6, and that gets you a better idea of what kind of case rates we're seeing statewide. So certainly seeing significant rises in cases. So main takeaways at this point, we have a highly contagious virus. We have a ton of it circulating in our community and in the state as a whole. The good news is we're not seeing a rise in severe disease for those who've gotten vaccinated and boosted. But if you've not gotten vaccinated yet, or if you've not gotten that booster, we are seeing a rise in severe disease and hospitalization. And so we want to do everything we can to prevent that. The most important thing is to get that vaccine, get that booster, and to wear a high quality mask in indoor settings when you could potentially be exposed to this virus. And I would say, looking at the rate of COVID-19 in our region, if you are in an indoor space like a grocery store or like a party where you're meeting up with folks, if there are more than 10 people in that space, there's a pretty significant probability that someone there has COVID. So it's a good idea to wear a high quality mask in those spaces at this time. And so with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Yeah, Dr. Berry, is there any way to predict, or do you have an idea what the ascertainment rate in Jefferson County is?
Yeah, so in Jefferson County, we estimate that our case ascertainment rate is actually closer to 50%. So we think we're catching about 1 in 2 of the cases that are out there. So if you want to take our number and double it, that's probably the true case rate here, but it's not x6. So in truth, I think our case rate is actually lower than the state as a whole, but we're just catching a lot more of our cases.
Okay, thank you. Still grim news.
Still quite high, yes.
I was struck over the weekend by the irony of so many of our residents being vaccinated and boosted and still contracting COVID and carrying it around the community, silently, right? When you think, you're thinking, I'm vaccinated and boosted and I feel great. So there's no way I could have COVID. I've heard this comment. And I think it struck home yesterday when Kate came down with COVID. Just because she was testing, because she was going to travel this week, and then there it was, and she was like, "I felt fine," and you know, well, that's at least what was conveyed to me. So, I think that's happening more and more, where people are not aware that they might be carrying COVID, and you know, I've been wearing my mask in grocery stores, and people have been asking me, and I said, "Well, because I might have COVID, and I don't want to give it to you," so. It's interesting that it's a silent phenomenon in our community in many ways right now, even though we've been talking about it so much.
Yeah, I think it is important to remember that if you're vaccinated and boosted, symptoms can be quite mild. Generally, you'll eventually feel something if you contract COVID-19, but they can be very mild. It can fly under the radar. You can think it's allergies or a mild cold. So if you're feeling anything off at all, do go ahead and get tested. And of course, if you have an exposure, get tested 5 days after. We do have a lot of home antigen tests available at the department, at the libraries, at the pharmacies. There's a bunch of places to get them at our South County fire stations. So definitely do test if you have any symptoms at all, or if you're exposed to COVID-19. In our family's case, part of how we found out was there was an exposure at my daughter's daycare, and then she developed symptoms. And so we went ahead and tested, and that's how we knew, which is why I'm masking now. And I think it is important to acknowledge that even if you're vaccinated and boosted, you can still get COVID. You're much less likely to get severe COVID that would cause you to get hospitalized and die, but you can get a breakthrough infection. And that can go on to infect someone who could get a severe infection. So that's the big reason why we try to prevent our boosted population from getting COVID, and so you don't give it to someone else who could get a lot sicker than you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, thank you.
Do you mind, Dr. Berry, with all the COVID going around, just reviewing, you know, isolation and quarantine, sure. Best practices?
Yeah, once it actually comes home, it can feel a little overwhelming about what you should do. I do want to remind folks, Jefferson County Public Health is a great source. So go to our website. You can kind of walk yourself through isolation and quarantine. But if you test positive, so if you have COVID, that's isolation. Best practice if you test positive for COVID is to stay home for 10 days from when your symptoms start. Most people will have some symptoms, but if you have no symptoms at all, it's 10 days from when you test positive. Now, if you have very limited symptoms, if you have self-limited disease and your symptoms resolve within 5 days, it is reasonable to test again on day 6. So you know, take 5 days plus the first day that you had symptoms, test again. And if you test negative, it is reasonable to leave isolation, but you do have to wear a high quality mask for the remainder of those 10 days. So 5 to 10 days, but definitely test yourself before you leave isolation. Otherwise, you could continue to spread the virus to others. So that's isolation if you have COVID. If you're exposed, if you are vaccinated and boosted, so if you're up to date on your vaccines, which is actually just one booster to count as up to date, you don't have to quarantine, but we do recommend that you wear a high quality mask for at least 10 days after your exposure. That's a good idea because breakthroughs happen. If you're not up to date on your vaccines, we do recommend that you quarantine at home for 5 days after your exposure and then test before you go back into the public. And of course, continue to wear a mask for a full 10 days after your exposure. So basically 5 and 10 days is kind of what you're working with, masking and testing. The only other thing I would say on that point is, as a vaccinated and boosted person, often your viral loads are relatively low, especially in the beginning. So if you develop symptoms, definitely do test. But if you test negative the first day and you have symptoms that go on for another day, test again, because you might find that your viral load was too low to get picked up on a test the first day.
Can I follow up with two more questions?
Sure.
One is, what is the best process if your a family member that you live with is isolating, like you're going through right now, because that's a situation more and more of us are encountering? And then the second question is, yeah, or is it even valuable to understand what the breakthrough rate is now for vaccinated and boosted folks? It seems, does it offer any more protection against infection at all? Or do we have numbers on that right now?
Sure. So you are, as far as breakthrough rates, you are about 50 to 100% less likely. So about half the rate of getting COVID of someone who is unvaccinated. If you're fully vaccinated, that's just fully vaccinated numbers. I don't have the breakthrough rate for boosted yet. The state hasn't pulled that number yet, but I would like it. I think it would be helpful. I imagine it's much lower, but that's just for people who've had two doses without a booster. But that's of course much lower than it used to be. It used to be you were six times less likely to get it. Now you're about half as likely to get it. As far as what to do as a household contact, so this is important. We are not seeing 100% of those who are vaccinated and boosted pick up the virus if you're in a household, but that is your highest risk contact. Of course, myself, small person's going to get real close to me. And so I know that it's possible I might get a breakthrough. And so the first thing is know that it's possible you might get COVID, so be thoughtful about your other interactions. Myself, I'm thankful I'm able to work from home, so I'm going to try really hard not to bring this to anyone else if I did contract a breakthrough. But to reduce that risk, the biggest thing, the most effective thing is to sleep in a separate room from the person who's positive. So if it's your spouse, if it's a child, if you can sleep in a separate room, if that's accessible to you, that's one of the biggest things to reduce the breakthrough rate. The other is to wear a high quality mask when you're indoors with that person as much as possible. So I have a KN95 that fits my face well, KN95 or KF94. If neither of those work, a surgical mask can reduce the risk, but the higher quality masks will work better. Most folks won't tolerate an N95 for as long as you need to wear it as a household contact, but if you do, please feel free. You want to wear that really whenever you're in the same space as a person. I have a studio apartment, so we're always in each other's same space, so I'm always in a mask. The other thing to think about is to improve the ventilation in your home as much as humanly possible. If it's not too cold, opening windows can be good. If you have HEPA filters available that you can run in your house, that actually reduces transmission in that space. If you don't, putting a HEPA filter on the back of a box fan can also help as well. So we're lucky enough, we do have a HEPA filter and it's running to try to reduce kind of the virus circulation in our home. Those are all the things you can do together. The only other thing is if you do have a shared bathroom, try to make sure if it's possible to take a little time after someone uses a shower. That's actually a particularly high rate of transmission because you breathe and it gets very humid. So if you can wait an hour before someone else uses that space, if the positive person has taken a shower, that helps as well. Thank you.
I think there were definitely some KPTZ questions this week.
Sure.
Too.
Yeah. So there were a few. So one person was asking about second boosters. When do you recommend getting a second booster? And I would say, they said now or wait for the surge. And so I would say the surge is now. So if you're waiting for the surge, I would go ahead and get your booster. I think it's a very reasonable thing to do to get a second booster. It's not clear that it provides a lot of added protection beyond getting that initial booster. So most important thing is get that initial booster. But if you are, say, over 75, you have multiple underlying conditions, I think it would be reasonable to go ahead and add that second booster now. So, you know, if you're over 75, you got COPD, heart failure, all those kind of things, I think that's a group that it would make more sense to get that second booster at this point. That's particularly why we're focusing on our long-term care population. We know that they're so frail that we just want to give them as much protection as possible. For the general population, not clear on the utility of a second booster, but it's certainly not going to hurt. It does reduce your risk of getting infected at all for about a month after you get it. So when we're seeing case rates surge, not unreasonable to go ahead and get that now, but you're still very well protected from the initial and the booster. One person was asking about wastewater surveillance. So this person's got some good attention to detail. So we've talked a bit about wastewater surveillance on this show before. In Jefferson County, we are starting the process of getting wastewater surveillance from the Port Townsend sewer system, actually. So we are setting up a contract with the State Department of Health, and that should be going live in the next few weeks. So we'll start seeing our data from Jefferson come out in the next few weeks. In Clallam, we have had actually one of our small retirement communities set up wastewater surveillance before even the state and the feds were doing it. So it's actually through a private company. And so this person noted that Clallam's data is not showing up on the CDC's website. That's because the CDC's website only has CDC sites and State Department of Health sites, but this is actually a private group. But the population who's used it has used it in a really interesting way. They're a small retirement community and they track their sewer outflows. And so whenever they get a positive in their community, they just alert the community that we all need to take more precautions. And it's worked really well for them. But that's why you don't see them on the state databases, because it is private. Jefferson County's data will go on the state database as soon as we have it going. One person asked how long your COVID-19 tests are good for. Generally, your home antigen tests are good for 15 months, so a year and 3 months after their manufacture date. So when you look at your box, it should have an expiration date, which often changes. But if you look for the manufacture date, add 15 months to that and they're still good. The best thing you can do to make sure that your antigen tests are maintained well is to keep them at a general room temperature. You don't want them to freeze. You don't want to leave them in a car and have them get really, really hot. That can make them ineffective long before the expiration date. But if you keep them at room temperature, don't get them wet. They can last quite some time and probably longer than 15 months. If you're worried about your test, if the control line comes positive, you can feel relatively confident that it's still a good test. These are pretty long-lasting tests. But if you're worried also, we have more available. So we have some at Jefferson County Public Health at the libraries. You can buy them over the counter and you can get them from Say Yes COVID Test every month. And the month just changed. So you can go ahead and request some more from the state as well. This next question was really kind of a lot about masking and really whether or not those who are vaccinated and boosted or have had other things like Evusheld, the monoclonal antibody, if you still need to mask. And I would say at this point, yes, I do still recommend that you mask. It reduces the chance of you getting COVID. It also reduces the chance of you giving it to anyone else. And so masking if you're in indoor space, my rough cutoff, I always mask in indoor public spaces. In a private space, my rough cutoff is about 5 to 10. If I see more than 10 people, I always wear a high quality mask in those spaces. And I think that's a good kind of barometer for the rest of us to use as well, especially while case rates are this high. And then last but not least, the last question was asking about the approximate percentage of reported positive tests in Jefferson County that are home antigen tests. On any given day right now, about 50% of our reported cases are home antigen tests. So we're still getting good reporting from the website. We do get reports that way. There is a box you can check to request a call back if you have questions about isolation and quarantine. And at least right now, we're still able to fulfill those calls. There may come a time if we get so many cases that we can't always call folks back. But right now, our staff are still finding a way to call everybody back who needs a call. We also use that information to find outbreaks. So in both counties, there's some kind of open-ended boxes that you can type in how you decided to get tested. And that plus your zip code is how we've been able to find some outbreaks and help shut them down sooner rather than later. So do report. It helps us. It helps us help our community. It's all private. It's a HIPAA-protected platform. And so no one else can access that data except for Jefferson County Public Health. And with that, did that bring any other questions for our commissioners?
Not for me. Mark, do you have any? Nope. Thank you for being our voice of information and wisdom, Dr. Berry. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Oh, Willie, do you have anything you want to add this week?
No, nothing from me this week, barring any questions from the commissioners.
I don't think I have any for Willie.
So glad you're here.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice to see you. Okay. Well, I guess we'll be ending our COVID update much earlier than usual. Thank you, Dr. Barry. I know that, I guess, the KPTZ listeners get a half an hour of music back. I know that they have a plan for that eventuality, and we'll go back to airtime.
Thank you. Thank you.